Marvelous to know that to live is Christ and to die is gain. To live for Christ, when we sow to the kingdom, we reap the fruits of the Spirit that we bring forth. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and my favourite, self-control. However, when we sow to the flesh, we reap the fruits of death. Things that block us, that stop our progress. Jealousy, see, lust, hate, lack of control, etc. When reading through this and meditating on this passage, it struck me that to live for Christ is a decision that we choose to take ourselves. When we die, naturally, through Christ, we gain eternal life. And this is something that all mankind desires. As the Queen song goes, he wants to live forever, as it was portrayed in the Highlander movie. But it's something that all mankind wants, to live forever. And it says in Ecclesiastes 3, we are born with eternity shaped in our hearts. Our soul desires to live on. And this morning I want to unpack a few questions. What does it really mean to live for Christ? Looking at the points of our values or our foundations, coming through then the pillars up then is our thoughts, then acting like Christ, what are our actions like? Living life to the full and not stagnating, and reaching the lost through our discipleship. And then coming at the back of the passage then to look as to why to die is gain. From my research and looking into this topic, a lot of the things that I read was very top-heavy toward why to die is gain. But I think it's very, very important just to have a look at this. Why is it important to live for Christ? What can we do whilst we're here to really live life and live life abundantly? So what does it mean to live for Christ? This should be a central theme flowing through every Christian's life. Christ is the catalyst, he is the focus, having Christ-like values and acting in the way that Jesus would. So let's have a wee look at values. Values are very important to the human race. They are our foundation. These are the things that give us grounding. Values are the desired qualities of an ongoing action. When having the right values, and if you are a person of action, when those two merge together, something special happens. What are values? Values are things that would include trust, honesty, integrity, equality, respect, etc. These are the things that keep us going. For example, a marathon runner, I've heard the story of Stephen, more than a marathon runner, doing probably a series of marathons all together. But think about it like that. If you're a marathon runner, you're running along, you're absolutely knackered, you're tired, you're exhausted, you're 3 miles from the finishing line, your body is crying, stop! Come on, big man, you've done enough. The negative mind chatter is working overtime. Stop here. You're not going to make it. Your calf's away with it. You've had enough. Just stop now. Go and get a drink of Lucozade. Go and take some jelly beans off that wee lady over there. Just stop. Relax. However, the marathon runner looks then deep within himself, and he brings forth the values of determination and perseverance to help him defeat these negative thoughts coming in his mind and to reach the finish line. And when he reaches the finish line, he then feels that feeling of joy within him because he has ran the race with endurance. He has finished it. He is called under the values which he has put embedded deep within himself, and his values then have came out to the forefront. And he has moved on, and he's finished the race. And that is so important, which leads me on to the next part, which is our internal thoughts. So the values are the foundations. The thoughts are almost like the pillars coming through, leading us up. The first thing, looking at thoughts. Thoughts are very interesting things. And the first thing, I think it's important just to look at, is we are not our thoughts. We are there before our thoughts, and we're there after our thoughts, which tells you, your thoughts aren't you. Whether before or they're after. Have you ever been sitting there, maybe in a quiet moment, just contemplating things, and you've observed a thought coming into your head, whatever that may be, and in time, it passes, it goes, it comes, there's about, passes and goes, but you remain. Thoughts really only take root when we allow them to race away in our minds. And it's very, very natural, the human mind, the way it works. Thoughts happen and they just run away, grow arms and legs and take off. And what's important to notice is when we focus on them, it gives them energy. So we can choose. Do you want to meditate on the Word of God? Or do you want to meditate on the garbage that the enemy gives you? What we give energy to grows, and what we starve dies. As the saying goes, you are what you eat. And this is also very, very true. We become what we think. For example, if you think in your mind that you could not get the job of your dreams, get the girl of your dreams, the fella of your dreams, whatever it might be, the likelihood is you're not going to get that. When we listen to the inner voice of the self-saboteur or the negative thoughts, the enemy, it could be here, your own flesh, and agree with these defeating thoughts that they are providing, I'm not good enough, I'm too old, I'm too fat, I'm too skinny, I'm not experienced enough, how can I possibly do it? Me? Seriously? And consider ourselves a failure. Or we could believe that we have the ability to get the job, listening to the source of life within us, coming at the situation from a position of strength. And that would mean saying, you know, thinking along the lines, all right, okay, I am where I am now. I'm okay as I am. Where I can improve, I will. So I'm going to go and find out, well, what do I need to get this job? What qualifications do I need to attain? Who can I go and speak to and seek counsel on this? Who can help guide me toward getting this? Therefore, stand at the door of your mind this morning and feed it something good. Something that will release the life within you. Think like Christ, for Christ is life. As a Christian, we can apply this by seeking counsel with the Lord in our quiet times, times of intimacy, waiting on Him to guide us through the journey of life. If we're in positions of difficulty, we can quote the word of the Lord, meditate on it, let it be embedded in us, and think on a higher level. And I think there's a difference between thinking and awareness, which is important to think about, just to think about God, but to actually be aware that He's actually here. The tangible presence of God is here. And there's a difference in knowing that. When you feel when you are aware that God is here, things begin to shift. Mm. And that's important. So remembering to take every thought captive, analyze it, whether it adds value to you or whether it doesn't. If it does add value to you, take it on board. If it doesn't, cast it into the fire. The thoughts from the Lord will add value to us and give us life. Remember these things. As it says in the book of Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he.
Good.
As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So meditate on the word of the Lord, ingrain it into your heart, and your values will become the values of the kingdom of God. Your roots will become embedded in the Lord. Lay the foundations of life in Him, and the root will determine the fruit, and you will reap life from that. Moving from thoughts then on to actions, because thoughts influence your actions. This morning, do our actions match that of Jesus? Are we following Jesus' example? Do we have ears and hearts that are sensitive to the Spirit? Do we hear the Spirit when it prompts us to do something? Moreover, if we hear it, are we obedient to the Spirit? When the Spirit is prompting us and we obey, it will bring us into life. It will bring life into situations. It will bring life to people. For example, I don't know, our church has been heavily involved in this random acts of unconditional kindness, simply because you can. And Big D always says, you know, don't tell me about Jesus, show me Jesus. And this is a perfect way that we can actually show people Jesus. And the best example that I can think of is Big D and I were litter picking in front of Seymour Hill and Saturday morning, going around with black bags and just lifting up all of the litter. And it was amazing the life that came out of that. People came out of the shops and started cleaning the streets. They were offering us bottles of Coke. The chippy van, he was offering us chips and sausages and everything like that, telling the kids up, hey you, put that in the bin. Hey, just clean that up. And so on and so forth. But it brought life to the place. It brought life. There was something that shifted in the atmosphere. And it was just tremendous. Or it could be simply just spending time with somebody. Just spending time showing them love. It's a fundamental human need. We need to be loved. Why is that? We are made in the image of God. As God is love, we are wired for love. When we're operating in the love mode, we are truly experiencing life. Jesus embodied love for mankind when he went to the cross and paid the ultimate sacrifice at Calvary so we may live. When I was meditating further in the scripture, this rarely happens to me, like I've seen a vision type thing. And I saw a freshwater lake and a stagnant swamp, sort of side beside one another. When there's an absence of life, it becomes stagnant. When nothing's flowing, just life is so stagnant. This can happen both the Christian and the non-Christian. And this can happen with our relationship with Christ as well. We all too often, as human beings, go on autopilot, going through the motions, and not truly connecting in our relationship with Jesus. And is it wonderful what things can happen when we're not operating on autopilot? Wonderful things can happen. You can actually make great progress, but if you're on autopilot, you're just drifting around. It's like the Pink Floyd song, we're just two lost souls swimming in a fishbowl year after year. Where's the life? What's the point? On the other hand, life is Christ, so make sure that all of your springs are in him. These springs will provide life. If you consider the freshwater lake, it has an inlet, usually in the form of a river or perhaps a stream. This inlet goes into the lake, the water flows through the lake and out through an outlet, normally again in the form of a river or stream. A classic Northern Irish example would be the Upper Ban rising in the mountains of Mourne, coming down through Portadown and so on and so forth, into Lough Neagh, out of Lough Neagh, and then out toward Ballymena Peter's favourite place, Coleraine, and out again into the sea. And this is very true for us. When we receive the word that the Lord gives us, the Lord pours fresh water into us.
That's good.
And I saw the lake as our minds processing the word of the Lord and us meditating on that. The outlet is us spreading the word of the Lord, showing people Jesus by our acts of love and kindness. This should be spread to all people. It is also obedience to the Lord, being sensitive to the Spirit and moving according to what the Lord is speaking into us. So this morning, have a pulse check. Slow things right down. Slow it right down. Take a moment. Examine yourself. Are you connected to the source of life? Is there living water flowing throughout you? Or are you stagnating in the swamp? The great news of the gospel is that we can check for blockages and remove them at both ends and let the river flow again. Begin receiving again, begin reaching people again for Jesus. And that brings me to my next point. To live is Christ, is also to reach the lost. The Great Commission, the instruction of the resurrected Jesus Christ to the disciples, that they spread his teachings to all of the world. Outreach is key to this. Discipleship is also key to it. Who do people see when they look at you? Who do you reflect? Do you reflect Jesus? Do you reflect the ways of this world? We become what we focus on. Where the mind goes, the brain follows. John Maxwell, in one of his sermons on outreach, put it beautifully. We are appetizers for God. For many of the unchurched, they are the only vision or way that they see God. The reality is, if they taste us and they like us, they're going to go, they want to taste God, they want a bit of that pie. Oh yes, cream of the cup, give us a bit of that. On the other hand, if they don't like us, they're not going to want to go and taste God. And we've got to be careful as Christians that we do reflect God, and that they do see the love, the kindness, and all of those fruits of the Spirit manifesting. Because that's so attractive. People want it. Who doesn't want peace? Who doesn't want love? We all want it. So let's reflect it. Let's be good appetizers. Let us hone our skills on wearing the unchurched appetite. Let's be skilled at doing that. And we all know hunger is the best sauce. Make people hungry for Jesus. Letting our kingdom values shine through our actions, illuminating Jesus, pointing precious souls to him, the source of life, letting the living water wash away the blockages, refreshing them and giving them hope for the future following the Lord and into abundant life. And the second part then, why is to die again? For the Christian, when you die, you get more of Christ. As Christians, what we should want most is more of him. Our heart's desire should be to see him face to face. The greatest gain that we can ever have in this life or the next is to be more closely connected with him. In this passage, Paul says that he is hard-pressed between the choice of life on earth or dying and going to be with Christ. Wow. What does that tell us about Paul's perspective about this life on earth? What does that tell us about Paul's perspective of life after this? What does it tell us of Paul's relationship with God? What does it tell us about the kind of revelation and understanding that Paul had of heaven? Paul seems to portray the balance that is needed of understanding the benefits of staying here on earth, but yet longing for the next life. It would seem that he truly knew what it was to live for Christ, but he also truly believed that his death would be his gain. Can you honestly say this morning, sitting where you are, that you're hard-pressed to choose between life in this earth and going to heaven? I'm not sure that I could, in all honesty. I'd like to hope that I could, but I may struggle with it. And it's a challenge for me, it's a challenge for us this morning. Reason being, we are conditioned sometimes, we're so earthly minded. Our hearts are so attached to the things that we have here on earth, whether that be our career, our family, our friends. And these things aren't necessarily bad things to enjoy and to love. But what should we want more than to be connected fully with Christ? Having that constant connection, no breakages, just constant connection. And that's what we're going to get. That's the reality. When we get to heaven, we're going to get that. We all know the Bible verses about having mansions in heaven, or as Morris put it one time, he'd be happy enough with a wee flat. A one-bedroom flat there. he'd be delighted with that. I remember him saying that one day. The streets paved with gold. The fact that there will be no more sorrow, no more pain. In a sense, we all know what we will gain through our earthly death. It all sounds very much like something that we should long for, and in part we do, but at times it seems like so far off, like a distant notion, and we find it hard to grasp the reality of a life after this one. Some people fear earthly death. It's a fair enough thing to say, isn't it? Some people fear earthly death. Well, I want you to meditate on this. A Christian is invincible. Right? A Christian is invincible. Even if you kill me, I'm not defeated. I will get to be with Jesus.
Good.
My death isn't the last you're going to see of me. Because I'm going to live forever in the presence of Jesus, worshipping him.
Good.
That's freedom. That's true freedom. That's why in John's Gospel he says, when the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. Nothing can trap you. Nothing can trap you. Paul truly believed this. No matter what happened to Paul, he experienced more freedom. Do you want to throw me in prison? Do you want to beat me? Do you want to take away my money? Do you want to take my life? I don't care, because I'm free in Christ. But to die is my gain. Oh, yeah. If Robert Donald were to be tracking into, oh, what friend we have in Jesus. My life isn't based upon money. It's not based upon the freedom I have to do whatever I want. It's based on Jesus Christ. And he's never going to fail me. I always have him. Because we have accepted Jesus, when we die, we will gain eternal life. Our souls are designed to live forever. Everyone has eternity placed within their hearts.
Good.
And this is, when I was given these verses to speak on, it was very interesting because Julie and I have this verse on Sky's headstone at the very, very bottom of it. To live is Christ and to die is gain. And we know that she has gained eternal life, and we know that with all of our hearts that she is in heaven. That is something that we will gain when we go to heaven, to reconnect with her. But we've all had people who have finished the race that have went on before us into heaven. When we get there, we will have the opportunity to reconnect with them. And I'm looking forward to that. So, if we know in part what we will gain, how do we get to a place like Paul where we're hard pressed on life, on earth, and to truly know what it is when we die again? I believe a key to longing more after a life for this is one to become more connected with the source, become more connected with God. When you enter into a new relationship with a person, or you're in a good relationship with a person, you want to get to know them more. You want to be with them all the time. You want to talk about them all the time, think about them all the time. It's very hard to get them out of your mind. And this is how we should be with our relationship with Christ. Avoiding stagnation and always longing for the next level of intimacy. And God is calling us. He's crying out. He wants to know us. He wants us to know him more. As this grows, our natural desire will be more towards longing to see him and to be with him. And to finish, remember, to live for Christ, have your values, have your foundations correct. Have the thoughts. Meditate on the word of the Lord. Absorb godly thoughts. From that, then, your actions will determine it. The root will determine the fruit. People will know you're Christians by your actions. Let's live life to the full, not be stuck in stagnation. Be true disciples of Jesus Christ. And go out and be hungry and be good whetters of appetites for the unchurched. Whet their appetite. Make them hungry to know God. Make them hungry to know God. And then point them toward him, and God will meet them. God will meet them. Remember that we are connectors and not correctors. We are connectors. So whet their appetite. Make them starving for Jesus. Point them toward him. And the Lord will meet them.
That's good.
And there we go. And remember, to die is gain. Remember, the Christian, we are invincible. So live like you're invincible, knowing that when you die, you gain true life. Thank you.
Yeah. Very good.